Praise the Lord, everybody. I greet you in love, and I greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that all is well with you, and that it is well in your soul. And we certainly just thank God for His grace and mercy that He extended us another day. And it is truly a blessing to be saved, to be sanctified, to be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And we thank God for His word of promise. We can lean on and depend on every promise that He says, because one thing He has proven to us, saints of God, is that He cannot fail. And because He cannot fail, He will never fail us. So we just thank God on today. And at that, amen, we're going to move very quickly into the Word of God. Today we will study scriptures found in the book of Revelation, chapter 18. But before we get started, I will give a brief overview of the book of Revelation. And as always, I am an advocate of personal study and admonish everyone who is listening to read and study the Word of God on your own. Most importantly, to pray for understanding in order to receive the correct interpretation. When I attended the seminary, there were two scriptures that were ingrained in my heart, which encourage personal study, and I will share them with you also. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 13 reads, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Personal study is very important, especially for ministers of the gospel. It is not about sounding good or coming up with a clever subject title for your message. It is about rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. The Revelation of Jesus Christ is a book that some people deliberately shun. I have personally heard people say that they try to read the book of Revelation, but it scared them. But I say that if reading it struck fear in their hearts, then maybe it can be looked upon as a positive and not a negative. If the things written in this book is enough to scare a person straight in a matter of speaking, perhaps it is by design to have such an effect, or it's a good thing. Amen, to have that effect. Some find this book hard to understand because it foretells cataclysmic events using symbolic and allegorical language, which is the hallmark of apocalyptic scriptures or writings. Every symbol in Revelation represents literal things. Or in other words, every symbolic reference does have a literal interpretation. What readers should understand is that the entire book is a prophecy. It is not the revelation of John the Divine as worded by some theologians, but the author is the Lord Jesus Himself. John wrote verbatim the words that were dictated to him and accurately inscribed the visions that he saw. As recorded in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. In chapter 22, verse 16, Jesus signs off on it. He certified and signed off on what John wrote and inscribed, saying, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. The Lord authorized and entrusted the apostle John with this prophecy to deliver it to the church as a prediction of the most important events that should happen at the end of time. The word revelation in the Greek is apokalypsis. And because of this translation, the book of Revelation is often referred to as the apocalypse. Apokalypsis means a taking away of a veil. In essence, the revelation given to John is an unveiling of those events that shall precede and accompany our Lord's return to the earth. It is a divine or supernatural disclosure of what the future holds for the world and humanity. Although these prophetic predictions are very alarming and frightening to some, there is a message of hope in it. If you have read or heard the words of this prophecy as an unbeliever and your heart remains unchanged, then be afraid. Revelation chapter 21 and 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It has been unveiled in this book that this is the eternal destiny for those as categorized in chapter 21 and 8. And if in this life they are not moved to change their mindset, then they have sealed their fate. But for the believers, it gives support to the faith of God's people and provides a clear path to our eternal destination. We should not overlook the message of victory and hope that will be accomplished through Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3 and 8 declares, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the book of consummation and the fulfilling of all prophecies. By definition, the word consummation means the point at which something is complete or finalized. So in the context of biblical theology, the consummation is the final and complete end of all things, marked by the return of Jesus Christ, at which time the kingdom of God will be fully realized. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 24 through 26 and verse 28 reads, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all and all. So the consummation, at the consummation, Jesus will eradicate evil and all of his enemies will be destroyed. The prolonged conflict between good and evil will come to an end and righteousness will win. The fact that God chose to unveil future events is an indication that he does not want to leave any person in the dark. It is a blessing to know and to have insight concerning that which is to come in the latter day, because it gives us leverage. Having insight about the fate of the world should move people to secure an eternal destiny in the kingdom of God before it is too late. This book should not be shunned, but rather looked upon as a blessing to be able to read or even hear this divine revelation. As said in chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Another reason why preachers or teachers are somewhat apprehensive about ministering from Revelation is because of the warning recorded at the end of the book. In chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, it reads, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." So this is self-explanatory. The Lord has not authorized anyone to add to or take away the words, or take away from the words of this prophecy. And if you take such liberty, it comes with dire consequences. In short, what the Lord has said, he has said. And the only thing that can be said afterwards is amen. Therefore, I do not criticize preachers that lack literacy and do not feel comfortable expounding from Revelation. When it comes to the Word of God, if there is anything that you do not understand, it is best to leave it alone. In reading the prophecy recorded in Revelation chapter 18, which is this, our subject lesson on today, in the first place, we hear an angel proclaiming the fall of Babylon. In verses 1 and 2, it reads, "And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power and The earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. In the second place, the angel assigns the reason for her fall in verse 3, and it reads, For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. In the third place, the angel gives warning to all who belong to God to come out of her. Verses 4 and 5 reads, And I heard another voice from heaven, saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. To skip back to the prophecies recorded in Revelation chapter 17 for a moment, John was shown a vision of a woman, and it reads concerning her in verses 4 and 5, And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now, a mystery in scripture, as referenced in the Scofield Bible Commentary notes, is a previously hidden truth, now divinely revealed, but in which a supernatural element still remains despite the revelation. Now, consider with me that the church was also called a mystery because it was not known to Old Testament patriarchs and prophets that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of God's promise in Christ by the gospel. But the Lord committed to the Apostle Paul the mystery of the church as the bride of Christ, as noted in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 28 through verse 32. Here in chapter 17 of Revelation, another mystery is revealed to John, that the Antichrist is to have a bride. Just as the church is the bride of Christ, comprised of born again followers of Christ, the bride of the Antichrist will be composed of followers of false religions. The mystery of Babylon the Great, or the bride of Antichrist, is not a literal city, but an evil world system associated with the Antichrist of the end times. It is a religious and apostate system that is devoted to materialism and sensual pleasure. Some theologians describe this system as mystical Babylon. The term mystical is defined as a spiritual meaning or reality that is neither apparent to the senses nor obvious to the intellect. I thought about this terminology, and I recall to mind a movie that I watched many years ago, and perhaps many of you watched it also, but it was called The Matrix, where it depicted people who were existing in a simulated reality in conformity with a system, yet they were oblivious to how it was originated or who was controlling it. When we consider the current world system, in the same sense, multitudes of people have conformed to it, not realizing that Satan is the originator of it. And because they have accepted the way of the world, the enemy has assumed the legal right to control them. Those of you that have a spiritual eye should be able to discern that there is a system in this present world that ties into mystical Babylon. The people who are a part of it cannot sense or spiritually discern that they are serving or who they are serving, because the controller, which is the devil, is shrouded in or hidden by darkness. And by design, this system that he developed was to make his movements undetectable. People tend to underestimate the power of the devil, and they forget that he has studied humans and human weaknesses since Adam. He is a master deceiver and knows what makes us tick. So when he devises a plan against us, it is to achieve a common goal. His goal is to entangle as many people as he can, so that they will serve him and not God. People who are spiritually blind are easy targets because of their inability to detect his movements. And if they are not careful, they will become like puppets on a string controlled by an evil puppeteer. So this woman that John saw in chapter 17 is the great whore, and she represents everything that the Lord hates. Again, the prophecy says, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Some has suggested that the great whore represents America, but I respectfully disagree, because the characterization of this system is seen in every nation, kindred, and tongue. So it is not isolated to one place, but every nation is tied into it. Again, Revelations 18:3 says, for all nations have drunk of the wine of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Not one nation, but all nations are tied into this ungodly system. So America is no better than Russia. Russia is no better than China. China is no better than France. France is no better than Saudi Arabia, and the list goes on and on. The key point is understanding that the great whore's influence spans throughout the globe. In her is the revival of every foul and detestable spirit, and she has become the habitation of devils, the same spirits that provoked God to bring the flood upon the earth in Noah's day has revived in her. The same spirits that provoke the Lord to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah has revived in her. Notice in the vision that John saw, she was good to look upon. He said, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. And I just want to point out that one of the tricks of the enemy is to present himself in a non-threatening way. Saints of God, everything that look good, sounds good, tastes good, smells good, or feel good might be a setup. So before you take the bait, think about it. The focal point of this vision is the cup that was in her hand. After describing her appearance, the scripture goes on to say, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. She seduces all nations to drink from this cup that is full of abominations and all filthiness. All manner of perversion is in the cup. Every false religion is in the cup. In Revelations 18 and 4, John wrote, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. She is the subject of God's wrath, and she is to be judged. To the modern day saints, the Lord is commanding us to separate ourselves from that system and and the ungodliness associated with it. Come out from her, my people, and acknowledge that there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There's only one way to get to God, and that way is through Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Come out from this present world system, and be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? The scripture says, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Revelation chapter 18 is seen as the last form of apostate Christendom, and it comes with a warning to God's people. Every system that is in this world is set to fall. People of God, Judgment Day is coming. And in times of judgment, God separates his people from being judged. He separates the sheep from the goat. He put a difference between clean and unclean and holy and unholy. Jesus is soon to come. And as said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, and then shall that wicked or lawless one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. When the war between good and evil is over, Jesus will reign forever, and this should be the hope of every believer, to reign forever with him. In Revelation 18, beginning at verse 9, we see the human view of Babylon. John wrote concerning the commercialism that made the world system rich and how it will come to desolation suddenly. All the kings of the earth that sold their souls to the devil just to be rich, and the merchants of the earth that grew rich and became excessively wealthy will watch in disbelief as they witness the source of their wealth dry up and suddenly come to nothing. When we consider the placement of the prophecy found in chapter 18, it is pertaining to things which shall be hereafter. If we look at the end of chapter 3 of Revelation, or if we look at the end of chapter 3 of Revelation, it depicts the end of the church age. And when we look at Revelation chapter 4, verse 1c, at the end of the church age, there was an angel that spoke to John, saying, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. This is viewed by some theologians as the end of time when the church will be caught out and no longer on the earth, at which time the tribulation period is to begin. Now, there are several views as to the timing of the rapture in Revelation, in relation to the tribulation period. Some believe that the rapture will take place before the tribulation, and that the removal of the church at the end of chapter 3 will open the way for God to renew his dealings with Israel. Some believe that the church will be raptured out at the end of the tribulation period, which lasts for 3.5 years, after which it will be followed by another 3.5 years of the great tribulation. However, if we couple 1 Thessalonians verses 5 and 9 along with Revelations 3 and 10, it supports the interpretation that the church is not to pass through the tribulation. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9 reads, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelations chapter 3 and 10, the Lord says to the church of Philadelphia, which is considered to be the true church out of all the professing churches, saying, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the earth, to try them that dwell upon the earth. So the true church will be raptured out, but there will be an apostate church left behind that are Christians by profession only. The placement of chapter 18 is during the Great Tribulation. And based on eschatological studies, which is the study of last things, the Great Tribulation is a period of unprecedented trouble which will involve the measure of the whole earth. As said by the late Dr. Scofield, the Great Tribulation will be, however, a period of salvation. So grace will be extended to those who are left behind, and they will have an opportunity to turn to Jesus Christ and be saved. An election out of Israel will be sealed, along with an innumerable multitude of Gentiles spoken of in Revelation chapter 7, which are said to have come out of great tribulation. In our lesson, God called his people to disassociate from Babylon the Great, from the false religion of the Antichrist, and from the system that he developed and controls. While the words of this prophecy is yet future tense, it is important to bear in mind that a stage has to be set before the fulfilling of all prophecy. So having said this, the stage has already been set for the reign of the Antichrist. And having knowledge of what has been unveiled to you, if you have not done so already, now is the time to make Jesus your Savior. So, saints of God, in conclusion, I understand that these are not the kind of messages that people want to hear. But every now and then, we must be reminded that Jesus is soon to come. It is not for the saints of God to be at ease, but we must be at the ready, because the time is at hand. Some people are only, you know, listening when it's something good to hear. Some people are all ears to hear messages regarding blessings, wealth, and success. But there can be no success if your life is a mess, nor will your end be glorious. People need to hear a word in season, such as how to escape hellfire, or how to get right so that you won't get left. Saints of God, I pray that there was something that was said today that will continue to resonate in your spirit. While you are yet under this dispensation of grace, consider the word of God and come out of her, my people. Amen. Amen. And amen.